swimming, and you see a shark, and you don't feel as confident as when you are on solid ground. And you're probably wondering, what is Brother Gilbert talking about now? I want us to look on things that are stable, stability, you know, versus something that is unstable. When we are on the earth, we on the ground, we feel very stable. But if you're on the ocean is wavering beneath our feet, the waves. As you go to the sea and you go to the beach, you feel like sometimes the wave is carrying you. Not in the same way that the ground would. However, that same feeling of the earth, though, can occur when there's an earthquake. When there's an earthquake, we don't feel that stability that we are used to, and we have a tendency to panic. So instability is not a very good thing for us, because we have a tendency at that time, am I correct, to probably want to panic, and it can hurt us. Our society tells us the virtue, and just common sense, tell you the virtue of stability. Recently, some time ago, they found out that the building blocks that we use to build our houses, that it might be subject to some form of instability. And what they said there was that if you have these kind of unstable buildings going up because of the concrete blocks not being stable, they appear to be strong. When you listen to me, you know, guys, I'm setting up some principles. They appear to be strong, but they are not built to modification, the correct, the block maker did not follow the right instructions of how to build the blocks. My father was a mason. I loved him dearly, so he knows everything about that. I used to even help him build blocks, you know. Used to build building blocks, but we have to ensure that it is at the right specifications. So you have what we call the Bureau of what? Standards that ensure that the block is built to certain modifications, that it can withhold certain things. You call that stability. Stability, having the concept of stability is that you have strength in it. You have balance. It can support. So when you have stability, that is a very good thing. Now, stability or unstable things can even occur in not just building blocks, you know, but even in drugs. The drugs that we take, on the cover of the drugs, they will say to you that there is an expiration date. I think the doctors and nurses who are here, they can vouch for me. And if that day passes for drugs and even food in supermarkets, then it becomes unstable. So you're moving from a situation now of stability to one that is unstable. When something is unstable now, it's not good for consumption. It's not good for us as human beings when it becomes unstable. Now, I looked up some of the meaning of stability, and I'm going to give you about two or three meanings. One meaning is that stability is the strength to stand or endure. That's one definition for stability. The strength to stand or endure. Another definition says this. It is the property of a body. Listen to this one carefully. It's a property of a body that causes it, when disturbed, to come back to its original condition. Listen very carefully now. If a property of a body, you disturb that body somehow, you will force it to disturb it, and it comes right back to its original condition. We do that in economics too. Everything comes back to equilibrium, right? It's the ability, the other definition, is the ability of a substance to remain unchanged over time. It doesn't matter what you put on it, it also remains unchanged over time. But listen, under certain conditions. So if you affect food and you don't follow the instructions how the food was to be kept, the right temperature. Am I correct? You mustn't subject the food to humidity, that time of thing. It can become unstable. So, what are we looking on tonight? If you want to give this lesson a topic, you may say, God's word is a stable. God's word is stable. We have a stable foundation in God's word. Remember, no, you know, when something is unstable, it can cause problems for us. And all of us know how it causes problems. Now, the passage that we'll be looking at tonight, we won't go to it right away, but the main text is Matthew chapter 7. The main text is Matthew chapter 7, and it's from verse 24 to 27. But we won't read it right away. We want to look at, if God's word is stable, we must know about God's character. Because you know, sometimes what comes from somebody is the way they are. Am I correct, Brother Mitchell? What comes from is the way you are, you know. God himself is a God of order. Am I correct? He's a God of order and stability. There is no confusion found in him at all. He's a God of order and stability. That is character. The Bible itself says to us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, for God is not the author. The word author means the source. He is not the source of any confusion, but he is of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So right away, if you are taking notes, in 1 Corinthians 14:33, remember now, God is not the author of what? Confusion. Right? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 through 9, I want everybody to turn to that passage for me. Hebrews 13, verse 7 through to verse 9. But let us look at verse 8 first. Before we go any, let's look at verse 8 first. Verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same what? Yesterday, and today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, that's the source. And you love to say, when you are singing or you are praying, even today, we had a wonderful prayer this evening, and the person said, use the term, God's unchanging hands. You accept that Christ is the same yesterday. You accept that, you know, you accept it. You are here today. You accept that Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You accept that his hands are unchanging according to what you have said. You accept that. You accept that you can depend upon God all the time. You say that God is unchanging. Now, if you say that, listen to me carefully now. Remember, God is the what? The author. He's not the author of certain things. So he must be the author of some other thing. If he himself is unchanging, you always say, you go on Facebook and you post it all the time, we can depend upon God. In your discussion with us, you say that God is unchanging, he's faithful. And that's why I love him so, he's unchanging. If he's unchanging, you must accept, my keys, you must accept that his word is constant. His word has the same quality that he has. So you can't hold on just to him and say, okay, my God, he never changes, and I accept him. And you hold the Bible tight. My God, don't change, I can depend upon him. If you see that, then you have to also see that what he says, what he demands of you, let me say it again, What he demands of you is total allegiance and submission to what he says. And he wants to do what he says. Now, so you admit and you accept that in Hebrews 13 verse 8, you always say it, Jesus Christ the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. But look at the verse above. The Bible says in verse 7, remember them which have the what? Rule over you. Who have what? Spoken unto you. Who have what? Spoken unto you the word of God. Whose faith follow. So you're going to follow. You're not going to follow something that is unstable, you know. Remember, we have brought that out in the beginning already. There is that stability in what you are following. Who said follow, considering the end of their conversation. But now look at 9. You claim and you accept that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means you see the value of stability. You acknowledge it, you know, because you always say it, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's why I can depend on him. That is so true. But now he also wants you now to submit to him in the same manner. That's why now in verse 9 it says what? Be not what? Carried away. Now remember, when we are on the earth, we are firmly rooted. We are not what? Carried away. But when we are on the ocean, the waves, am I right, Brother Richard? That current, it seems like it's carrying you away. It's a different property. It has a different property from solid ground. Solid ground, you are able to stand firmly on it, am I correct? And the sea now is carrying you away. So the Bible says, and it's a command, you know, it says, be not carried away. It follows the same way that you love the passage, verse 8. Because you see, most times you just see Jesus Christ serving your needs. You always just see him serving your needs. You know, he doesn't require anything from you. But that's not true. He requires a lot from us. So in the same way you say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, acknowledge also in verse 9 that you must not be carried away with divers. And you say to yourself, no man, doctrine don't matter. That's what you say all the time. Isn't that so? Reason we know that talk with you. In the new Church of Christ people, you talk about doctrine too much. Doctrine don't matter. Just give me Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But is it the same context? In the exact same context where he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, be not carried about with diverse, different, and strange doctrines. Be not carried away. If you accept, and I'm reasoning with you, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because you see for your life in Christ the value of stability. He requires of you to be stable in his doctrine and not be carried away with diverse doctrine. Listen. For it is a good thing that the heart, that's your heart, you know, be what? Established. Underline established in your mind now, coming back to that. Be what? Established. You want to establish and firm foundation. Am I right, Brother Richard? You establish yourself, and you cannot establish yourself on the ocean that just moving and wavering. Your heart must be established with grace, not with meat. The Amplified Version says, do not be carried away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established and strengthened. Stability has that concept in it. That it has strength in it and it has established in it. Established and strengthened by grace and not by foods, rules of diet that make you appear to be religious, ritualistic meals. But listen to this Amplified Version, which bring no benefit. Remember I told you earlier that human beings, we already acknowledge that when things are unstable, they are of no use to us. Am I correct? I know I am correct. When things are unstable, whether it's food or drug, it's of no use. Sometimes it causes harm. So, he says here, when you have these outward show of piety and religious show, it brings no benefit or spiritual growth to those who observe them. Do you want to take that risk with your spiritual life? Do you want to take that kind of risk with your spiritual life? In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, it's a passage that you all know. Some of you all quote it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Remember this: what this stability means? Even with time. Some people like to think that God is old-fashioned. God don't exist in that kind of time like us to be old-fashioned, you know. God is just, I am, the I am. So he knows, he is always, and that's why he's so stable, and that's why we can so depend on him. Because he's the I am. So certain things in the Bible, you can't just say, that was then. Because the person, the author, who instructed the holy men to write it, guided by the Holy Spirit to write this, is not subject to time and changes of time. Am I correct? Yes. So, that's why the Bible says no, he's going to remain. And remember one of the concepts of substance, of stability, you know, it remains unchanged. It remains unchanged. No, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So when you're reasoning with me with the Bible, or anybody here with the Bible, you must acknowledge, put away your thoughts. If you're honest and you want to serve God, put away your thoughts, because your thoughts cannot help you. Your thoughts might only make the thing that is stable becomes unstable for you. The word won't become unstable, you know, but what you have put on it becomes unstable for you. It's the same thing with certain type of food and certain type of things. You subject it to other kinds of elements and it becomes unstable. But the word of God will never become unstable. It's your interpretation now is going to cause instability in your life. So you have to be very careful about that. Now, there's another passage of scripture that I want Matthew to read for me, or Fabian. And it's a very important passage of scripture. And it's Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through to verse 3. Leviticus 10, verse 1 to verse 3. I don't come to my main text yet, you know. Remember, the main text is Matthew 7. No. And I want to emphasize verse 3. Read for me verse 1, Matthew.
And Nadab and Abihu,
yes,
sons of Aaron,
yes,
took either of them a censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon.
Stop right there for a second. These two men, church and visitors, they were not doing any criminal activity. It's not great. They were breaking somebody's house in Eliade. And they weren't doing any immoral activity. They weren't worshipping Satan either, you know. They were not worshipping Satan. Am I correct with that? No. And they them in a bag took eat up them incense and put fire therein and put incense thereon. No. We know they were not offering, they're not worshipping Satan, because the Bible says before they what? Before the Lord. They came before the Lord. They brought their offering before the Lord. Am I correct? But watch this. Read again for me, Matthew. Start back.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire.
What did they offer, Matthew?
Strange fire.
Strange fire. The strange is an adjective describing the fire. It is strange. You know why it's strange? God don't know anything about that. The way he told them to do it, they did not do it that way, so the fire becomes strange. But they were worshipping God, you know. You might be worshipping God today. Go to a church and you're worshipping God. You have to ensure that your worship is not strange to God. Your doctrine, your teachings must not be strange to God. You must be doing it for God, God's way. Yes, before the Lord. And you don't know why the Bible tells us why it is strange. Continue.
Before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
That's why it's strange. He did not command them that way. So it is strange to him. Is God going to accept it? Remember, now, you see, one says that God is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. His hands are unchanging. Right? So let us see if he will accept this. If he accepts this, that means, logically, that means that he will accept anything that we can give him even today. Listen carefully. If he accepts that strange kind of worship that they are giving him in the Leviticus, that means he will accept anything that we give him today. Am I correct? And if he accepts anything that we give him today, then we can just worship him anyway. And all of us will be fine. But let us see what the Bible says. Continue for me, Matthew.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
The Lord did not accept that type of worship. He did not. The Lord is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. You accept that as well, you know? You accept that. So you must accept now what he says about his commandments and those who come before him to worship him. Right? Let us see what he said in verse 10. In verse 3, sorry. Continue.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying,
Aaron was upsetting him. They didn't understand what was going on. Is his children died, you know? So very upset. So Moses still talked to him now. Yes?
Speak, say. I'll be
who speaks saying this now, Matthew? The Lord. This is that the Lord spake. So what the Lord spake then about coming to him to worship him, if we accept that he does not change, he has that stability, the principle of worshiping him. Let us hear what he says.
Saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
No, it's a very important, some very important words I use here. In that the Lord speaks, saying, I will be. Stop. Will is a verb, you know. A verb pointing to the future. Am I correct? Be is also a verb. It's a verb, is a state of being. But the be here is using what we call the infinitive form of the verb, to be. So it is now, listen carefully now, the will is a future. So it's a future. But the be now is stated in the what? In the infinitive. That's the same verb that God says, I am, that I am, you know. We're just using the first person, the am. But the infinitive form of that is be. So he says, I will be glorified. Anywhere in the future, This condition stands. Any condition, whether it's 50,000 years from now, a million years from now, this condition stands. I will be. So that word there, that phrase, is also very essential in understanding it. I will be sanctified in them. Not just near them in a bio, but anybody that come nigh unto me, hoping to worship me, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. Remember now, this is explaining why he killed them. So he's telling them that he's always right, and that none of his laws should be violated. None of his laws shall be violated. So he's saying, I will be sanctified in them that come what? Nigh unto me. Anybody coming to worship me, I will be sanctified. I will be glorified. Beware, be careful. Don't come to me in any and any way. Don't come to me worshiping me in any and any fashion. Follow what I tell you. Don't bring no strange worship to me. That's what he's saying here. And because he doesn't change, the principle echoes right throughout the centuries. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. Is a powerful passage, you know, that we need to use more. The will be is a powerful combination. Future and the infinitive. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. I will be glorified. And listen to the other part now. And what the other little part says now, Matthew, after that?
I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
Now, what did Aaron do? Held his peace. Him shut up his mouth. Because he has no answer for that. If he wanted to be God, from him hear that, he has to just hold his peace. What we have to do in the same manner? Just hold our peace. When we are subject, to just submit ourselves to God's word. God's word that doesn't have any man's intervention. Because any man's intervention, brother law, is going to make it become unstable to you. The word will never become unstable. Become unstable to you. That means you will get no what? Benefit from it. Is that something you willing to put your soul on? Be a cop man. Get out of that kind of tradition that you are in. My mother was there, my father was. Get out of that ego trick. Going to church and religion, not anything about ego. The position that you hold in there. Consider what the Bible is saying here tonight. Get out of that ego thing. I'm a member of I'm on the church's treasury. I help to do that. I can't leave. I'm on the choir. No. Is that going to take you to heaven? Look what the Bible says. Anybody that comes nigh me, I will be. That's powerful enough, brother. I will be. No. Because of that, we have now understood clearly. We have seen, we're going to the passage, not the main text. We have seen where it is good for man to have stability in our lives. Very good. Stability causes us not to, even secular, stability causes us not to be confusing. Stability causes us to be more orderly. Stability causes more discipline. Instability causes the converse of that. Our God is not the author of anything like that. You know, he's yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the same. And he even says, if you're coming to me to worship me, you must come a certain way. We realize that in the same passage of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are warned not to be what? Carried away with strange and diverse doctrines. You who say you don't believe in doctrine, The Bible is telling you, from the same God who you love so much and serve, is saying not to be carried away with strange what? Doctrines. Now, let us now look at the main text of Matthew chapter 7. But we're going to do something different. We're going to look at verse 24 first. Verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, hear and do is active, I will liken him unto a what? A wise man, which built his house upon a rock, the solid foundation. When it is on a solid foundation, look what happened to you now. The rain descended. And the rain what? Descended. Listen what is going to happen to you. And the floods came. And the winds blew. Christ used very powerful imagery here. And beat upon that house. And it fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a what? A rock. 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a what? Foolish man, which built his house upon the what? Sand. Listen what happened to this man. This man is on stable foundation. Am I right, Matthew? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Did it stand? No. And it fell. And listen what Christ said. And great was the fall of it. No. Thereof. But you are saying, no, doctrine don't really matter. When Christ said, that's why I read this first, no. This is not set apart from the teachings of Christ. You know. When this was said, it was in the context of doctrine. You know. The teachings of Christ, it was in the context of all of that. Because look now at verse 16. Look at verse, go up to verse 13. Enter ye in at the what? Straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. And many, that's fair enough, many there be which go in thereat. Because that's the easy gate. That's the gate where there are no standards. No standards at all. You can't just go there, so. Even man accepts standards. 8 years ago, Usain Bolt ran in a race. We all know about that. In a relay, it is found that somebody on the team might have taken some stimulants. 8 years ago, you know. And there is, he might clear himself or he might not. But say he doesn't clear himself, that medal that Usain Bolt got on the entire team will be what? Taken away. Because the body that supervises sport have a what? Certain what? Standards. We must be careful how we run the what? The race. You always say that, Brother Mitchell. Be careful how we run the race. 8 years, you know? 8 years. And we'll still lose the medal? If man can do that, what about God here? So, we must enter. He said, enter in at the straight gate. Make sure you follow the standard. Right? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which lead it unto life, and few be there than find it. Then he said in 15, no. Remember, he was talking about building the house, you know? It's the same context, you know? Beware of what? False prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil fruit. Evil. You see what they call it? Did you say the prophets murdered anybody, you know? Did they say that? The prophets didn't rape people. They taught different things. And because of that, it is considered what? Evil. People don't realize, Sister Mitchell, that there is religious evil in the world. Not just moral evil. Anything that departs from God's word is evil. So it goes on now in verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? hewn down and what? There's still a consequence. Just like what you say about May lose his medal, sad to say, very sad about that. In the same way that it should be hewn down and cast into the fire. That is why in 21 now, they couldn't believe it. They said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, verse 22? And in thy name I've cast out devils. And in thy, not in Satan's name, you know. Not in Satan's name, but in thy name done a few works. A few works?
Many
what? Many works? Many wonderful, full of wonder works. You see how careful it is to follow this standard. You see how important stability is. And following this standard. And then Christ is going to say to them now, then I will profess, strong word, no, profess, unto them, I never knew you. One day I will discuss about that, profess. Depart from me, ye that work what? Iniquity, evil again. Yet they were worshiping God. They were doing things in God's name. It's two powerful words used here now. Evil and iniquity. Are you here tonight? Not a member of the Lord's church. You wonder, what is this man preaching about? We are preaching about God's word is evil. It alone will help you. No other word. We don't need to mix it with anything else. It alone can save your soul. Get out of man-made traditions that will not help you. Remember, I will be sacrificed in them that come what? Nigh me. Then that's why he says in verse 24 that the wise man hears and does. And build his house upon the what? Upon the rock. The wise man lane. But the foolish man build it on the sand. The sand is what you have mixed up. Other things mixed up with the word. That's the sand. That's the wavering. The solid word is a pure word. Why are we not satisfied with this pure word of God? The pure word of God does the job. Why do we need other kinds of creeds? The pure word of God does the job. When we are going to have a medical campaign, and I want us to remember that little saying I just said a while ago. The medicine that the people take was just properly prescribed based on the standards. That's why you can't go to pharmacy and fill medicine without that prescription. Once of the standard, it will do the what? Job. It will save you. The word of God. When you talk with them in the medical clinic, say it. The word of God, the pure word of God will do the job. We need nothing else. Just that. After you teach them, just say it to them. The word of God will do the job. Why do we need creeds? What are they useful for? Who did they originate from? I would rather trust God than trust a man like myself who come up with a philosophy about a church. That is a no solid foundation whatsoever. No solid foundation. Michael Peace come and give me an invitation. No solid foundation. Are you willing to take that risk? If I were you, and I was here tonight, and I'm not a member of the Lord's church, I might not know much, but I would want to inquire, at least. I would want to step forward over my seat and inquire, because this affects my soul. So I would want to know more. Thank you very much.
Psalms 328, 328. Please stand as we sing the song. 328. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth and move can stir.